Now I gotta find out what name of the movie. But yeah, the ending really because I'm not a big movie guy. So if I watch a movie and I'm really into it, and then hell, my Netflix not even on my damn phone right now. But yeah, if I watch it and I'm not really into it,
yeah,
no, and I'm into it and the ending is dumb, oh, I'm pissed off.
It's new.
It just came out yesterday.
Might be something. I'm off tomorrow. Might be something we do tomorrow.
Yeah, not now. I gotta do something.
Yeah, so why are you Googling?
Ooh, give me some more flavor.
It's the Untitled Podcast. We
good. Rebel Ridge. We good. Really good. Sound. Really good. R-A-Q. Say a boy star, he out here, he gone. It ain't much that you do that I can't do for me. I already got my team, I tell them we good. We good, we good, we good.
Don't you worry about it, bitch, I know somebody like it.
I know. You ain't that nigga you say you is.
How you know though?
Just know that I know. Them streets, they fuck with me strong. And them bitches gon' forge a book called Money Long. You know that I know.
Yeah. Hey. I'm a nigga thugger with me.
Hey, could you move, please? Thanks.
Rich homie, baby. Have a life trying to take piss. Tell the fuck, get the fuck out my face.
Get the fuck out my face.
I don't fuck with 12 cause I heard they listen to a nigga conversation. I fought a nigga bitch, name tripping. Better tell him get the fuck out my face. I got it tucked in my jeans. And I got my nigga thug with me.
Yeah, boo, talk your shit.
Hey, man, where my real niggas at in this motherfucker, man? You feel me? To the real nigga walk through, feel me? Hey, I be feeling like the man when I walk through. Can you tell me what you're saying when I walk through? I got all these hoes staring when I walk through. I done made a few.
Yeah, boo, talk your shit.
Somebody
like it.
I can make last one, I promise.
Sure.
Had to do it right. Had to do it right. No.
Nah.
R.P. Rich Homie Quan, man.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Yeah. For real.
Yes, sir.
Lay her on her back while I'm gripping on her chest.
Her ex don't want that, no, that nigga want this. That nigga extra lane, he don't wanna conflict. Made 2.5 million, nigga, ain't done yet. Stand down to my word.
Make some noise, y'all, what the fuck?
Yes, sir. What it is, what it is.
Yeah, it is. Yes, Sirski, welcome to the Untitled Podcast, the favorite podcast, favorite podcast, a.k.a. the greatest show on earth. I am your host, Boog, on the voice, nor the vibes. I have with me, once again, back in the building, the most active of all active dads.
Talk that talk.
You know what I mean?
We here.
The big meet your daddy. Huh? Started in Bankhead, then I spread it out. Vision in my head. All I want to do is get it out.
Hey, man. What's up? What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Maude. I'm here. I always want to say on the couch, but then it feels kind of raunchy afterwards. So we back in the lab. That's what we gonna call
back in the lab, man.
We back in the pod lab.
Yeah, because you say the podcast and couch and this shit now going on. And that's only us. Like that's our generation know about the
dirty minds.
Yeah.
Dirty mind, little boy.
Yeah, we grew up with that. We grew up on that.
Grew up a little freaky.
Yeah, look, did grow up a little freaky.
We grew up on the freaks come out at night.
We did.
And they come out at day now.
Yeah. Cause we actually they did it 3 a.m. mm-hmm. on Sundays. The freaks came out. Truthfully, mm-hmm.
now
it is out.
Nobody has no decorum anymore.
Nah.
No decorum.
We're losing recipes. Niggas nasty.
What's the word everybody's been using? Demure.
Demure. Demure. Help me.
These nuts.
These. Yeah. No. I hate when words just get found and discovered and becomes.
I actually like it.
You like the
I like it, Joe.
Yeah.
I like a new word. I just feel I wish it didn't take for that for us to widen our vocabulary.
I mean, whatever it takes for niggas to learn new words.
Yeah. Whoever that person is, because I'm not a TikToker, but I think she should do like a word of the week since she has such a big grip big on reach. Everybody. Such a great reach.
Yeah, such a great reach.
Shout out Webster.
I'm just glad we got our diabolical.
I never realized that diabolical was a thing because I always use that word, but I didn't know that it was like overused at some point, which I find funny.
It's recently overused, more like over the summer it got overused.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, that's just diabolical. That's diabolical. Everything.
I can feel that.
But yeah, niggas that read books. Yes, we've used.
I'm a reader.
Yeah, we used that. Big researchers have been using diabolical for a long time. But I'm cool with them. It's just you know me. That's my personality. Like,
yeah.
I never been like I hated. I've always hated trends.
Yeah, you hate trends.
So
you gonna go against the grain?
Yeah,
against the grain, boob.
Yeah, for sure. What's cool? Don't want to do it. No, just do something else. Do something else. Find somebody else. Find somebody else to do it. I ain't fucking with that. Nah, if it's cool, I don't want to do it. Do something else. What's next?
I know, right? But hey, how you been? It's been a minute since I seen the pod father. Ian was back in the building.
Yeah, man. Hey, E back, man. I was happy to have E back on the pod, man. It's always good to go talk to the pod father. My boy had to get some shit off his chest.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, boy shook Facebook up a little bit.
Oh, he was on here shaking the table.
Yeah. Boy shook Facebook.
He was shaking. I got to go back and listen to the episode. I've been fighting my life, but I ain't got a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, me and you both, brother. How you been? Talk to me.
I'm here.
At an event.
We got to
talk about
it. We got a lot to catch up on, but we have concluded leg one of the Ice Cream with Dad tour.
Thanks for
y'all heard what sexy. Y'all heard what sexy said. But now, leg one was dope. Our reach in total for leg one was around 425 guys.
Come on.
425 guys have been inspired to get active and stay active by coming to the events. But now, we closed out leg one last week. It was pretty dope in Camp North End.
Dope.
Then yesterday, we kicked off leg two in Charleston, South Carolina.
Dope.
So teamed up with Flint and also Daryl Ward, who works for Fetter Health. Fetter Health is a nonprofit that's run. It's basically like a, I don't want to say a health agency, but you get what I'm saying. They do like community work and all of those things. So
he's in Charleston now.
Yeah, he's in Charleston.
Okay,
he's in Charleston. Shout out to Dr. Powers. That's my fairy godmom. She was actually over JC Lewis Health when it was in Savannah, but when she went to Charleston, Daryl went with her to Charleston. But yesterday was dope. I would say we had about roughly around 30 dads all together come out. We had some Hispanic dads, had some white dads.
We
had everybody come out. But yesterday was dope, and I love what's happening with Ice Cream with Dad because each city is becoming its own thing. So we had free health screenings, dental screenings, voter registration, Dope. All of that stuff was out there as well. Daryl owns his mobile lounge business that I thought that was my first time seeing it in person, not on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So it was really dope. It's like a lounge for like tailgates. He has a total of 8 TVs, has video games on there, full bar, everything as well. So really, really good setup. Mm-hmm. Connected with some good dads in the Charleston area. Got some guys that's ready to do some work and we're gonna team up with to get this tribe really doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of that, y'all know the pod is where I say everything at. But I'm actually gonna push Savannah back.
Hey,
I'm pushing Savannah back because I'm tired.
Gotcha.
Good reason. Yeah, good reason because you know last year the tour in total was just 5 cities. Mm-hmm. And we've already maxed that out. And just with I got a lot of good that's happening and getting thrown my way right now. So instead of rushing things, I really enjoy planning thoroughly and having everything out right how I want it. So we're going to push Savannah back. I want to say that first Saturday in October, it's October 5th.
Okay.
So we'll have Savannah October 5th and also Huntsville, Alabama will be October 5th.
Ooh.
Okay. Then Birmingham is October 6th. LA will be on the 12th. Things out. But made that executive decision yesterday because I'm like, hey, you're doing the work. You're doing a damn good job. Hey. It's okay to have to slow down and to take care of yourself physically, mentally, so you can recharge and keep going.
No, that's facts, man. I'm glad you made that decision, man. Yeah. I'm glad you.
Because I'll run myself.
No. That's one thing we got in common. We'll go do it.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We dog ass tired.
Crawling across the finish line. We're going to get it done.
One of the funniest things when I first got with P was that kind of just like moving that way. And it's so funny because like we used to it. Like, yeah. It's kind of how we operate. So I don't know, I gotta do this.
It is no other option.
It's like, why don't you do it tomorrow? Gotta do it today. And I don't have any good reason why I couldn't do it tomorrow. Besides, no, I planned on it today. I'm doing it today. And the only reasoning I could think of for that would be like, I gotta do it today because I don't know what tomorrow I got going on.
So tomorrow, ain't promised.
Yeah, exactly. That too. So let me just knock the shit out now while I got the mind for it because tomorrow I may wake up, not feel it. But I'm locked in today, so let me knock this shit out, right? So it's playing. So, yeah, I'm glad you're making that decision because you've been running, man.
Bruh, this entire summer has been a grind.
You've been on the road.
It's literally been a grind. I tell everybody, the only people that had vacation this summer was my kids. They had Disney, Great Wolf Lodge, going to Savannah, doing other things. Outside of that, I've legit just been grinding all summer. I went out. You know, speaking of running, shout out to the Round the Crown 10K.
Hey.
Active Dad now has been forced. The universe has pushed us into having a race team. We popped out. Shout out to Sabe, Swank, Quan, Rob, everybody that rocked with us. Phil, I'm trying to name everybody before I get in trouble. But we did the Round the Crown 10K. For those of you that aren't in Charlotte, the Round the Crown 10K is a really big race. This year they had about a little over 8,000 people come to Charlotte to run uptown and on the highway. And speaking of highways, we're running a race.
I heard about
we're not even at a mile marker yet. And we turn to get on the highway and on 77, the part that's blocked off, the other side is still going. This lady's paying attention to us running and not traffic. She slams into the barricade. Mind you, we're running and it happens on the side of us as we're running. So all you hear is boom. So we like, what the fuck? So we run over this way.
Yeah.
Slams to the barricade. Her car lives as if it's going to flip over on the side we're on.
Shit.
Then it goes the other way and rolls and flips upside down. Welcome to the Round the Crown 10K.
Oh shit.
Mind you, my black ass just like, alright, I hope she okay. You know, everybody, all those other people were running, jumping over the barricade like the Avengers to help out. I paid $50 for this race.
That's at Savannah.
I'd have been training. Mm-hmm. I ain't about to fuck up my time.
That's at Savannah.
Shout out to Swank because he ran over there to the barricade and we were like, Nick, what are you doing?
Right.
Boy, come on. Like, we got a race to run, bro.
This is time.
All this is time, my chips. Yeah, it was cool. My overall time, my overall time was like 56 minutes. My average was 9:03. So I was shooting for 9, but I'm good with 9:03.
Yeah,
I'm good with 9:03 because I actually woke up dead to race. My left foot was hurting so bad, and I hadn't ran all week. I think it's because I had my Raptors on running behind kids all day, ice cream with dad.
Yep.
And that kind of did it. But, hey, we make it do what it do.
Hey, man, better than I would did. So, hey. Hey, I ain't never going to talk shit about nobody doing better than me.
Hey, for everybody listening, we are doing the Novant 5K sponsored by Chick-fil-A in November. You get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich at the end.
Oh, I'll run that. Little Summit? You told me that now. I run for Little Summit. Hey, when I ran the bridge road, y'all, we came down, they're passing out beers and Brunswick soup, man. Hey, shit, that made it worth it.
Honestly, that's really one of the main reasons I would do the bridge run again. Yeah. It's for the free Brunswick soup. Yo,
that Brunswick soup hit. That shit would hit. That shit, them beers, and they was passing the beers out.
Hell, passing them.
Yo, I'm finna get lit down here after this shit.
Yes, sir.
Fuck all that, man. So, yes, sir, man. Shout out. Speak, you heard it? This is, I know we have people in. That in this podcast space, listen to the episodes that are not from Savannah. But if you are, it's a little 15-second thing you can hit. Just tap that shit about 10 times real quick, man. It's going to be a real Savannah segment real quick. Okay. You know any close to Octane?
I ain't surprised. Come on.
That's crazy. I mean, it's not crazy.
I was mad because the Octane was a good time. It was like an express turn up.
You know what bot it is like a little.
Like you go in there.
Pop, 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 and be out.
Pop, pop, get you some pizza and you go home.
But you know what I don't want to say frustrates me because I don't really, really care.
Yeah.
But what bothers me about it is.
What bothers you?
Octane is one of those places that was similar to like your bar bars.
Yeah.
Similar to like Port Larry's.
We had some great times there too.
And the thing is like, so you and you, because you were there and we did a lot of this shit, like. The spaces that have turned into the spot right before it's the spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where y'all going tonight? Oh, we going to Octane. What the fuck is
What's
that?
What's that?
Like that phase. Yeah. Like those phases. So I know you remember that Friendsgiving we had. There was a Friday night at their Thanksgiving that we went to Octane and it went crazy.
Everybody when all my cousins were in town. Yeah, we all were there.
It was like 3-4 years ago. Like, I think it was like right before COVID, I think actually. But I mean, when absolute, maybe it was right after one or two.
Nah, I was in that bit leaner.
Yeah, it was absolutely lit. Everybody's in here, right? Like, it's a great ass. I mean, to the point where we're like, oh shit, we know they got a downstairs?
Yeah.
And like,
we went downstairs after.
Yeah, we downstairs. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, it's just those phases of places is what I really remember about spots.
And it reminds you of times like that, remind you, sorry, this is real Savannah right now, but no, times like that remind you of Crip.
Because
we go to Crip during the holidays. That has to be our little spot. And it wasn't too big. It was a good spot. Good vibes.
And nobody was going, but we got the right people there.
That's all that matters.
Right?
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Saying, hell, I was talking to somebody about how rain was. Not rain when it fell off. I'm talking the rain where you had Pete to check rain. Your hat. Remember, like, you couldn't wear a hat in the rain. You had to check your hat at the door. You couldn't wear t-shirts. Like, they really policed the way niggas dressed and all that shit. And it was a vibe. Like, upstairs is one thing. Downstairs was like reggae. Like, it was a whole, like, vibe and rain. So, when these
Damn,
places,
I forgot about that. How used to be the different levels had the different things.
Yeah, so, like, to see those places, and when I think about those places, those are my main memories. So, then when I see them close, I'm like, damn. Like, nothing's going to hit me harder than Bar Bar closing, obviously. But Bar Bar is my shit. Everybody knows Bar Bar.
Yeah, you love Bar Bar.
But everywhere else, though, like, seeing these places close in the city, and it's like, damn, like, number one, like, where can people go now?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's going to be limited.
Yeah, it's going
to
be very limited.
It's going to be limited, or it has to be a venue that isn't getting as much business and they realize that they need to flip the crowd or they need to diversify a little bit more. But then when those things happen, you put in a time limit on it. You put in a 6 to 9 month range for it.
Because it's exactly what that is. Because once you open it up to this bigger crowd,
some bullshit's coming.
It's coming right behind us. You got to be prepared for it. Because literally, that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That crowd opened up and shot the egg because the egg going to turn the spot up.
Yeah.
The egg came in the Octane, started DJing. Next thing you know, that's the spot to go on Friday, Saturday nights. And didn't take long. You know what I mean?
But even with that, what I would say when comparing it to Charlotte, your Atlanta, your other places, this happens like in all major cities.
No, absolutely.
Because in Atlanta, what was the spot dude from GSU? Yeah.
Encore.
Like Encore. Yeah. Encore closed.
Because them boys went to shoot and they hit the boy fucked around and hit the aquarium. Hey, for real, the boy hit the aquarium.
Nah, they said it hit the aquarium and they hit an animal.
Yeah, well, it hit the animal. It hit a dolphin, the dolphin exhibit. And the water was leaked, so they had to get the dolphins
out.
Yeah, to repair. Yeah, so after
someone please call 911.
Yeah, shout out to Will, man, because Encore is my shit. I felt the same way about Encore.
Tell them Free Willy has just been
because Encore
tanked. They've been shot down.
Encore is like the Georgia Southern like reunion spot. Like, if you go on Encore on the Saturday, you're going to run into
you're going to run into whoever
always,
you want to see there.
Yeah, we always there.
And they open late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the food. People didn't know about the food at Encore. But you can
use didn't know about the food either.
You got to put scrap on one. You scrap like, what the fuck? I said, bro, I'm telling you, nigga. You use some late night wings and fries at Encore. And if you time it right, you can get it right. You order it. Get them, like, they're going to take a minute. It's a club. So give them about 30 minutes. So you time it right when you ready to leave and walk out with it.
From what I read, because I'm a big researcher, in Savannah, they said. But in Savannah, they said that there was a Marine and someone in the military got shot.
Yeah, shot. Yeah, got killed.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, because even Philippine cities, when you look at Charlotte Epicenter, Epicenter, before you got here, was already closed down, but it was the same thing. Had a little crime, the wrong tourists get hit, and you already had like crime situations, and it's like Charlotte's dope now, but when Epicenter was here, it was a whole nother level. Saturday nights, man.
I remember that Saturday weekend. And it was lit.
Yeah, so it's like, and it used to be like that at least two to three weekends out of the month. So, just for any major city in general, you know, it's blacks. And I hate saying that, but it's blacks. It's like,
that's racist.
We got to find somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. Got to find somewhere. And you want to go places that you're actually wanted to, because I feel like as a black male, we know when some places aren't really that fond of us, but they're kind of tolerating us because it's like, hey, they're going to spend their bread and they're going to do things. There was a situation in Charlotte recently, the spot Royal Tot. I've been there for dinner before. Mm-hmm. Dinner was good, great drinks, but this Q that I know, he was promoting a party there. Basically, something went down. They like double booked it, and they didn't want their party there, so they got to like a little argument. Something happened, but it wasn't like no shooting or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And the owner was like, "Yeah, I was trying to be nice to y'all and everything." And it's like, there you go.
That's it.
There you go. So it sucks, but this is something that actually happens like in all major cities. It's like for African Americans, because we don't want to be forced to go to breweries and bars all the time. You know, we want to dance floor. We want to tap our feet. You know, you want to sway your hips a little bit on the floor. You want to do your little TikTok. Mm-hmm. Ain't it worth it, baby? Something. They be shaking their head to the side. Yeah,
they should be wobbling around.
Yeah, like, so it's like when you think about those things, this is a good conversation to have, because it's like, how do we preserve those spaces? Because some of them may get too high end.
Yeah.
Whereas like you got to be in there in your hard bottoms and dress pants. So every now and then I enjoy a place like that. But how, as blacks, how do we keep just regular spaces that are going to not get shut down? Because they most of the time they get shut down due to crime.
Yeah.
So then it's like, how do you filter that out?
And that's a good question, because I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. Like, there's solutions.
And it's a cycle that this happens everywhere.
It's no way that I can think of that you can do that and still remain inclusive, right?
Yeah.
Like, somebody got to get locked out. Like, they can't, and it's unfortunate to say it, but it's like, it's not the same as black people. But, like, there has to be some level of exclusivity to a place to where everybody can't get in.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of keeping a certain crowd out, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I learned this actually in Statesboro. I'm at the grill, and I was talking to the guy who owned it, and he was telling me how basically, these places do certain things, institute dress codes and all that, and it's not because they want. So some places, these high-end clubs, yes, they want a certain aesthetic in their club, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of other places do it, and it's actually a situation where they're doing it because they know, all right, well, if we make you wear a dress shirt, mm-hmm. a button-up shirt, this group's not coming. If you can't wear a hat, this group's not coming. You can't wear black tees, white tees. They're not coming. We won't say no sneakers either. They're not coming, right? No jeans. Something like these type things, right? No baggy clothes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if you pay attention to, like, they had dress codes on the wall, it'll be a very vague dress code, right? And you kind of leave it up to the bouncer's discretion, because then they can look at the person and say, nah.
Yeah.
Right? And why? Well, because that's baggy. But this ain't baggy. It is. This ain't no baggy. They're baggy. You ain't coming in, right? So it's going to be, for me, I honestly feel like the best way to go about it. So at one point, it was 18 and up, right? Remember 18 to dip, 21 to sip. Remember that shit?
Yeah. A dip, baby, dip.
Then it went up 21.
Blame it on the goose.
Nah, I think you got to keep raising the age, man. I think that 30 and up spots have to start becoming the standard.
Yeah.
I think, because I feel like, and you really look at it, I think once you hit 30, 30s when you really become a person who can handle your liquor, you know your limits, you know, because a lot of times that's where that shit is, right?
Yeah.
Like, niggas have had too much to drink. Something small happens that they blow out of proportion because they're drunk and then becomes a thing, right?
Yeah.
So I think, to be honest with you, the only thing I can really think of is, you know, raise that age limit, man, 30 and up. Shootings they had in Savannah a few months ago, but like, I think like 14 people got hit, and they went arresting people, 24, 21, 18, a little too much
free time.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and I also feel like, you know, curfews, you know, and this is when niggas start sounding like Republicans, but curfews got to get instituted as well, right? Like, you wonder if you're under the age of 21, you have no business
out at a certain time anyway. And honestly, if you're that young, you should be the kickback.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking it somewhere. Because when we were that young, it was kickback central.
Yeah.
Having a really good time.
Yeah, kickbacks, you know, and then obviously, and then going back younger than that, we had our little teen club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that also ties into how times have just changed, because we were in teen clubs just dancing, you know, being grown, getting served up with Jean Dye left on the wall afterwards. White, these teens are doing drugs right now.
Drugs.
Kevin has been posting how he's taking vapes daily. And stuff daily in school.
Damn near hourly.
And it's like at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Why are you already trying to get a little? And I ain't knocking you. But no, I am knocking you. You're a kid. Like, you're in there for your education. You have the rest of your life to be grown. And I feel like there's so much that plays these roles into this. And I hate to sound old, but just the upcoming generation, or just younger people in general, want to be older and wanting to experience life faster than they should. Once you get here, you here. Take your sweet ass time.
And there's so many different like factors, right? Like,
yeah.
This is basically like a big ass like pot of gum.
What all would you say are the factors? I would say exposure.
Exposure. I think that's the biggest thing.
But then also your upbringing / value system.
Yeah.
I think the crowd that you're around as well.
Yep, all those things, but I feel like exposure is the first part of it, right? Because our parents, when we grew up, could tell us something, and we took their word for it, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't know any better.
And we couldn't see nothing different.
Exactly, I couldn't see nothing. All I knew is what you told me, right?
Yeah.
Right or wrong.
Yeah.
But whatever you told me, I believe. That was my gospel. My first gospel was what you told me.
Yeah.
Right? My mama said this. My parents said that, right? Like, we niggas quote their parents all the time.
Yeah.
They used to say X, Y, and Z, right? Like, so I think exposure, all the things you said as well, but I feel like exposure is the main culprit because they can see kids, see 18-year-olds. There's no teen clubs because these kids don't want to party with teens. They think they're grown.
Yeah.
Right?
They want to be grown.
They want sections. They want all these things at the age of 18, sections 17, 16, everything. Right? They want all these different things. And it's like, well, shit, when we was 18, nigga, like I said, all we want to do is come when we
party.
Were 15, 16 years old.
We just want to hang around your friends.
All we want to do is hang around our friends, get served up by the big booty girl in school.
Go to the movies.
Sometimes
be a little grown in the movies, though.
A little nasty. Little leg rub. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But even then, all we want to do is go to the food court.
Yeah.
And then food court, mall clothes, and sit down in the mall clothes and go over to the movies. Like, that's what we want to do on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That was our Saturday nights, right? And we had a blast, right?
Yeah.
You want to see everybody. Like, that's what we, you know what I mean? That was our social hours as opposed to now.
Yeah.
These kids want to do.
They
want to
be grown. They want to have on a Miri. And like, all we see of this stuff. Like,
so we watched it, right? We watched what prom looks like compared to us.
Boy.
Going to fucking S&K and shit to get some tuxes. So now they wearing Gucci, pulling up in Lambos.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just so different. And I think there's a lot of different factors, right? We said exposure, but also I feel like, and that's why I think what you're doing with your dad is so dope.
Yeah.
Because there's a generation of people who feel like they missed out on a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So I know, like for you, I know your situation with your pops wasn't the best growing up, right? So you're doing what you're doing, and part of it is based on that, right? I think a lot of times when we see these prom outfits with the Gucci and all that shit, it's based on the fact that when their parents went to prom,
they didn't have it,
or they couldn't go because their mama couldn't afford this, afford that. So now I make sure that you get the best.
And you will do all of this stuff to overcompensate.
Exactly.
And it's like, in some instances, I can completely understand that, but then I also think a lot of the overcompensating, to me, it handicaps and it cripples kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we all know some young adults that maybe, you know, a little sorry because they were coddled as kids as well. So I just think it's a good thing to do, but then it's also you just have to know how to scale it back. But the crazy thing about parenting is you really don't know how good of a job you did until you become older.
Yep.
That's funny because one of my really good friends, I remember at Sean Cook's rehearsal dinner from his wedding. And Sean won't mind me telling the story. I always mess with him about it. But Sean's rich. I always tell him that. So when we were in high school, Sean's parents, his dad got like this big promotion. They moved here from Memphis when we were in second or third grade. And Sean and his brother didn't want to leave because it was our junior senior year. His brother was at Savannah State. So his parents moved to Philly and left Sean and his brother in Savannah.
Ooh.
And his brother had to be all of probably a freshman or a sophomore. They would come down, to visit, talk to him, everything. But outside of that, Sean was in 11th grade own apartment, him and his brother on the island.
Ooh.
At that very, very nice. And I'll never forget at his rehearsal dinner for his wedding, his mom has tears. She has tears in her eyes. And she was like, seeing all of you all of y'all been friends since elementary, middle, high school. Mm-hmm. She said, because when I left my kids, so many people told me I was a bad parent.
Right.
They told me, like, you lost your mind to trust your kids because you don't know the influence of who they're going to be around. And she's like, the fact that all of his groomsmen are the same boys from middle and elementary school, and all of you guys turned out well. And just seeing, like, it, as a parent, it made me say, you know what? Mm-hmm. I didn't make a mistake doing that. Because I know some people, if they get left with their damn parents, they're going to be popping out babies and this, that, and the other. But that's just the crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy thing about parenthood. And this is completely off topic, but, I always like to shake the table about stuff. We're talking about parents, exposure,
but they could
control.
But that fits because, again, like, she knew the work she had put in as a parent. She knew the value she instilled. And it starts so early, right, that she knew by. And so think about that, right? You said that you don't really know how good of a parent you were until your kids are adults, right?
Yeah.
So you got a kid that's in 11th grade. You're talking 16, 17 years old in 11th grade, right?
Yeah.
So think about how quick that is.
Yeah.
That shows what kind of parent you were.
Yeah.
Right? Because honestly, I would say a lot of things I do work-wise involves youth. I can tell you that from what I've seen, usually that 12-13 range is usually where it either clicks or it doesn't. Right?
Yeah.
It's either where you got them or you don't. After that, it's real hard to get them back. You know what I mean? But it's also, okay, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Right? By 12, 13, by the way they talk. Not saying after the fact, because that's very young. But not saying after the fact they can't, bounce back.
It just gives you kind of like a preview of what's to come.
Yeah, it tells me that one's going to struggle.
Yeah.
Right? He gonna have problems. That's not gonna change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's the age where at 12, 13, you're essentially making decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got your parents if you're lucky. You know what I mean? They may help you out, but they only know what you tell them, what you ask them by that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go to school, at least back when they changed it up a little bit. I know when we were in school, like, whether or not they see a report card was kind of on you. They didn't call and check, but our parents was working back then. They had time for the shit. Where your report card at? You know what I mean? And we were also smart enough to find out ways around all that shit, but that's off topic. But the fact of the matter is, again, like that exposure to what they can and can't see at 12, 13. At 12, 13, we didn't have any of that shit.
Yeah.
All we knew was our circle. All we knew was Savannah. And then it wasn't even all of Savannah.
Yeah.
Right? It was whatever era you were from. That's all you knew. You wouldn't see the bigger part of Savannah until you maybe went to summer camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or you on the other side. You know what I mean? I know for us, me and my sisters live on the east side. So, like, I saw the east because my sister was living
over there.
So, going over, that was limited, right? All I knew was the west side of Savannah. That's all I knew. Is where we was in Cloverdale, Liberty City, west Savannah.
Yep.
That's where we was at. That's all Hudson Hill. That's all we knew. That's all Carver Village. All we knew was what we saw. That's all that existed, right? So, then I went to middle school. And the majority of the kids I'm in middle school with lived in Pooler. And it's like, that's a different world. Because these are different kids, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck y'all got going on? But then I got the Groves. And now I'm seeing more Garden City kids, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, these Garden City niggas are different,
they
right?
look different around
like,
here.
Boy, it's different. So it's just, but again, that's all that I knew and all I could see growing up, as opposed to, these kids now, they not only see what their whole city has to offer, they see
what other places what have other to places. Offer.
They doing this in Philly, doing this in Miami, doing this in LA.
So now they're mimicking. Right. Because you could not like where you are in, but say your whole Instagram feed is people from up north.
Exactly.
So now you're going to start mimicking stuff from up north.
Yep, me and
which can be a good or bad thing.
Yeah, me and P just had a conversation not too long ago, right? And I always tell her when we had these conversations that like I need to pull the podcast equipment out and we make an episode. And at some point, me and her were going to record. We had some good conversations, kind of detailing this shit. But we were talking about how there used to be like even like this regional pride, right? Like so for us, right? Like no matter how far we go, how successful we get, no matter what we do in life, right? We always going to say Savannah's home.
Yeah.
And we always got that Savannah in us, right?
Yeah.
Like, we could recognize it, and if you get us mad enough, you're going to hit. Like, you know what I mean? Get us excited, you're going to hit. Like, you know what I mean? The Savannah is always going to be locked in us.
Yeah.
So, but again, that's us, our culture. Like, that Geechee culture, that all that shit. Like, if you got it in you, it's in you. You're raised and you recognize it. As opposed to these kids now, like, you got kids from Savannah acting and moving like they niggas from Atlanta, dressing like niggas from Atlanta. And yes, it's a 3.5, you know, hour drive, 4 hour drive.
But sure, it's a difference.
But growing up,
yeah,
it was a different
huge
look,
difference.
Right? Like
yeah.
We knew, and we got to college, we knew Atlanta niggas, we knew Savannah niggas, we knew up Florida north, niggas.
Yeah.
We knew there's no such thing as a Florida nigga, no.
Yeah, right? It's now, a big melting pot now.
Right. Yeah, now they got their culture, right? Florida's Florida, but that's kind of fading out the same way. New Orleans as a, like what a New Orleans nigga looks like is different. Savannah is different. They all look the same is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like everybody looks the same. Everybody's saying twin. Everybody, you know, all twin. These, the lingo, all gang. This shit. Yeah, gang, all that shit, right? No cap, no kids, y'all that shit, right? Like all the lingo that used to be reserved regional. For a set was so regional.
It's
right?
Universal now.
Like us saying Bunky and over there. And, yeah. Like, that was some Savannah ass shit, right?
Marlo Wayne said Bunky on, Club Fisher.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, so those, you know what I mean? Like, so those things that used to, again, be regional things, things that were, you know, you come to an area, you know, and then you hear you talking, like, nigga, where you from?
Yeah.
It used to be, you from Savannah? Or I remember when I got to college, and niggas, I was from New Orleans because of my accent.
Yeah,
so,
I remember that as well.
And, you know what I mean? And then I grew out of it. But that was the how deep into Savannah I was.
Yeah.
I sound like a nigga from New Orleans because if you knew, you knew. It was very similar in the way we talked and moved.
Yeah.
So I think that the exposure is the biggest piece, and it's hindering a lot of different things. But I honestly feel like because these kids get to see all this shit, they don't want a childhood anymore.
They want adulthood.
Adults. And that's what
be grown.
And that's where the issues are coming, bro. Like, did we have fights when we went out when we were younger? Sure, but I can't think of a time that we went out
to fight.
Right?
We want to have a good time.
We had a good time.
Mom ain't gonna let y'all all the time anyway. So man, you gotta enjoy it when you can get out.
And even in college, like, we was out looking for hoes. I'm saying we was out looking for where they at. They gonna be over here. Yeah, that's what we out there for. As a matter of fact, a funny story that I have with Mod was actually there was a time where Mod had a situation. Someone was in my vicinity that I thought Mod would want to fight, and I asked Mod, "Do you want me to fight the nigga for?"
Hey man, we looking for the hoes in there.
And Mod told me to stand down, and I did.
Booby, stand down.
But I was
stand
with
down.
Like, hey, I'm saying this nigga. I'm saying I'm talking. I'm standing next to this nigga. Like,
you want me hit him? You want me hit him?
I'll hit this nigga right now. Please just say the word, please, and I will do it.
Hey, speaking of exposure, because the episode is going good for us to be having random topics for today. Mm-hmm. But now, speaking of exposure, did your parents ever like talk to you about watching porn growing up? Because we can say kids of today they have access to everything. I did not have access to any of that. Y'all know, for all of the listeners that's listening, I grew up in Holiness.
Yeah.
So my mom ran a tight ship.
Yeah.
But on my homegirl house, and I remember them saying, "Oh, you just going in her husband's bedroom and watch TV in there." And I was like, "Okay." And I'm missing hit play on the VCR.
What you see?
And that bitch was getting that back clap with that wolf coochie. I was like, "What
booty talk 24?" Yeah, it is.
But just thinking about it, because now, you know, being adults and the world is so, you have to think about when we were young, music videos, you know, weren't as explicit. You know, Tip Drill was on 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what's on Instagram. That's what's on TV on a regular basis now. So speaking of exposure, that's something to think about, because people don't really understand how, like, when you unlock that within a boy, I don't know how this be a woman, but when you unlock that within a boy, it's a whole new world. Yeah, whole new world.
I'll never forget, man, one of my pops' homeboys told me, I was probably in middle school, and middle school is when I really started, like, really thinking about, like, sex, right? Like, and I remember I mentioned something to him about, because growing up, like, I was with my pops, and being with my pops, I was with his friends a lot, right? And I always credit them as being ones that, like, really kind of raised me, right?
Yeah.
So, and I was always around older niggas. So I had these conversations young because I was with older niggas. And I never forget talking about, and I forgot how the conversation, you know, started, but we were essentially talking about women and sex and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he told me this, and I didn't understand it then. I understood it as I got older. But he said, my pops, my mom, my pop, parents called me Ski. He was like, Ski, I'm going to tell you, take your time. Because once you start, it's going to be hard to stop. And I didn't understand what he meant.
Yeah.
I'm like, what you mean? Huh? And then I got older and I realized, like, especially young, when you start having, you know, sex and all those things, like, it's hard to turn that switch off.
Yeah.
Like, you're constantly chasing it, constantly pursuing it. It's on your mind. When you see a woman, you no longer see her as just a woman, right?
You you seeing how you get up in them drawers.
Exactly. You're on the attack, right? Essentially, it's just when you switch.
GTD.
Like, that's what you want. That's what you want, right? Like, that's what you with. And it's not like you just, like, hypersexualizing women, but it's just like, no, like, I see you. Yeah, you fine. You pretty. You cool. You funny. But, yo, what that shit hitting
on? So that's why, that's why, like, you have to somewhat, which you can't really control that exposure. But once you bust that first nut.
Sometimes it's different. You asked about the porn thing. I had a funny story about that real quick, man. I was going to tell the story about my cousin, but I'll be a real man and tell about my
okay.
I'll never forget, bro. So, like, when I was in probably my senior high school, right?
Yeah.
I done found out about, like, these porn websites, the Bang Bros, all that, right? And it's funny looking back at it now, because back then I didn't need the whole film. I could watch the 30-second trailer and get right, like, Lord, and so on repeat, on repeat, going crazy, right? So I never forget, bro. I would watch this porn. I think I'd be still. We had a laptop, so there was a So my parents had, like, a little computer desk they put in a common area of the house.
Yeah,
and, like, so basically, like, everybody could walk by and see, but the laptop sat on that desk, right?
Yeah.
So anything you was doing, you sit at the desk, do your thing, right?
Yeah.
I would get up late, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Go in there, grab a laptop real quick, go in the room, close the door, and do my thing, right? I know.
Oh, you do your thing.
Yeah, huh?
You still?
Huh? All right. Choke that chicken. So I never forget, man. Pops, I know if guy came in that shit one day. I was at work, come home from work, pop laptop open. My pops has changed the background on the thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And the background says, I have warned you about visiting pornographic websites.
Oh, shit.
If I find out that you still
are.
This
is the wallpaper?
This is the wallpaper on the back of the. So you get on the computer and that's the wall. He's created a wallpaper.
Yeah.
And on the back says, I have warned you about visiting pornographic websites. Consider this your last warning. Like, that's what it says on the back.
So what'd you do? Did you you pack it up and go get in the bed?
Hell yeah, I closed that bitch and went to sleep, nigga. Bang Bros wasn't seeing me. Man. We found out about
I don't know if you had pushed the envelope a little bit. It's like, you know what?
Well, you know, we was in high school, and I remember high school, you know, this is just kids being kids. We found out about, like, proxies. You remember proxies?
Yeah.
Yeah, we found out about those. Yeah, we found out about those where you could just get on anything and nobody. So I started using those. Yeah. And he didn't find out. But good, yeah, man. But see, I didn't know about the cookies and
yeah, oh yeah.
And remember back then, that's when pop-ups were big.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you go on the wrong website and then pop-up. You click the wrong shit. They're jumping, huh? You want to meet nice singles, daddy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit. So, like, imagine your pops get on the computer and that pop-up, your mom in the kitchen. Like, what the fuck you looking at, nigga? Show son does, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I see. And as I got older, I realized why, A, it pissed my pops off so bad, and B, why I needed to stop. Like, I get it. But it was just like, damn, bro, like, this is insane. So you,
I remember when we needed a she's gonna kill me for saying this. But when we needed, Epp's dad was ordering Landon's car seat stroller something, right. And he sent her a picture of his screen saying, oh, okay, it said like order confirmation, yeah. But on the tabs, one of them was like, I know that's right, pops.
Yeah, it is. Get it in. Listen, best thing happened to me was we started going on like LimeWire and shit.
Yeah,
we could download.
Oh, you could download.
Man, listen. Shout out to Josh. Man, Josh was one of my roommates in college, and Josh showed me how to download from like LimeWire and all that kind of shit. Yeah, it is. Download from LimeWire and all that kind of shit, and then put it on your PlayStation.
Okay.
Like, you see the little flash drive plug in your PlayStation, you could download. So literally, on our PlayStations, we just had, like, porn all on our PlayStations. Like, full movies, videos.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lit time. Like, we'll accidentally, let's say you invite a little chick over, you invite her to the crib, you might stumble across her real quick, trying to watch a movie. Damn. Anyway, it was a good time, man. It was a good time. So, yeah, nah, porn. But like you said, like, and that was us with porn. These kids, again, get
drugs.
They're seeing all this shit. And I saw a tweet the other day, and it was like, these aren't pharmacists pressing these pills.
Yeah.
Like, these are, like, your homeboys.
He's Kanan.
Yeah, it's literally Kanan.
You see what happened when Kanan tried to press some drugs?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, wait, not. Yeah, nigga, like, these niggas are, you're getting homemade drugs.
Homegrown drugs.
Which is insane, bro. Like, I remember there's a lyric from Drake, and Drake says, I'm straight with the weed and liquor these days because new drugs got the kids tripping these days, right? Yeah. And this was like 10 years ago we said that shit. But looking back on it, like now, like even just looking at what he was saying, like it's true because all these niggas popping pills, like all, like, you know, RIP the rich homie, they say his was a drug overdose, right?
Yeah, you know they said, man? It was a bad pill.
Yeah, it was a bad pill.
So is that what you were saying? They just put in the wrong stuff, the wrong amount?
That's the definition of it. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And it's unfortunate because Rich Homie has talked about his addictions in the past. And I was watching one clip where he was talking about how, you know, he couldn't even function without Molly. But he also talked about how when he first started touring, he wasn't even smoking.
Yeah.
Smoking, drinking, man. I was just out doing my thing.
Yeah.
And he said, but they were touring so much, he couldn't stay up. So the nigga was like, bro, I got something that'll keep you up.
Yeah. Damn.
And they gave him that. So he started taking. So he said it got so bad to where he couldn't even function without it. Like, he needed it. So it was the opposite, right? Like, well, Molly was helping him. You know what I mean? He was just taking this as a little bit of an aid.
Yeah.
Now he needed it. Like, he couldn't function without it. You know what I'm saying? And it was super unfortunate to hear. And you hear it a lot. Like, Young Dro's talked about it.
Yeah, shit with DMX. You know, DMX was saying his mentor is the one who introduced him to drugs. And he never was the same.
Yep, never was the same.
It was an addiction since then.
Yep, somebody he trusted.
Yeah.
You know, introduced him to drugs. He took it. After that, couldn't get off it. And it's super sad and unfortunate to hear about.
It just hit so hard by that Rich Homie, because that was our college soundtrack.
Yeah, he was. And that was mobbed out. And that's the thing that hurt me the most about it was that, because it goes back and I talked about like these bars that we went to and all these things, right? Yeah. Like, Rich Homie was definitely, y'all heard in the beginning of the pod, like all these different songs, right? Mm-hmm. All these features he's on, you know, a song with Fab, song with Gotti, song with all these people. All the Rich Gang shit with Thug, you know, with Lil Wayne. Like, Rich Homie was all over the place, right? Like, Rich Homie was really doing his thing. So, you know, to lose him and that be such a big part of a great time in our lives.
Because every time you hear something, it makes you smile, because you could just think about, the good times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially, like, I think about Orange Crush a lot.
Yeah.
When I hear Rich Homie, because I can remember him, like, I don't know if he was performing at Frozen or Island Breeze, wherever, but I just think about, like, Orange Crush, you know, things of that, that were all going on. So it's just really unfortunate, but it's also just, like, it's a wake-up call, because we've known people directly and indirectly that we've lost, you know, for drug usage and things of that nature. So I think it's just very important, you know, not just for kids, but just for everyone, because there's so many, you know, we hear about drugs and all this stuff. And I feel like when we were growing up, once again, I could be a little green, mm-hmm. but I do feel when we were growing up, all I really heard about was weed.
Yeah.
You know, you heard about a little, you heard about love, cocaine, crack is whack. You heard those things, but
yeah,
I'm hearing stuff these days. People saying, "I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, what's that?"
Absolutely.
Where that come from?
Yeah.
That's a new one. Like, yeah. Somebody was saying something about moon rock. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Fuck yeah! Like, and we sound old because we don't know.
And I was like, oh no, you know when people roll up, they put moon rock on it. Oh, it's like a hot dog.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like a little relish.
Little condiment. Little condiment.
It's, if you need condiments for your drugs.
You a different nigga, man. You need help.
I ain't knocking nobody. If that's your ministry, cool for you. Right. But when it gets to this point, you just really have to be more mindful
of what you're doing. And I got a clip real quick. I'm going to run, man. This is the rich homie talking about his addiction.
Want me a little sweet.
Yeah, man.
I'm still booked every week though. So the money ain't slowing down. $12,000, that's some good money still. Mm-hmm. It just ain't them 40s and them 50s I was getting.
Right.
But I'm still going to Dubai, you know what I mean? Dubai gonna give me more than that, so I'm doing Dubais and all that. But now me and Fly ain't talking because of the litigation, man. Fly not talking at all. You know what I'm saying? I can't drop no music, my show money down. Man, I got a dark cloud over my head, bro. I probably was the lowest I was in my life, because you got to think, man. I went
talk your shit.
Fast. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I blame myself.
Yeah, man. So basically, you know, he talked about how, you know, he went from 0 to 100, like, so fast. You know what I mean? And he got to a point to where he needed those drugs to just stay afloat because the money was coming in. Shows, you know, all these shows are being booked.
Yeah, so you got to keep that train going.
Yeah, you got to keep it going. It's like, damn, I can't fall off because now I'm here and I grind it all. I came from nothing, right? So I'm making, you know, 10, 20, 40, 50K a show. And now I can't stop. Like, what I'm going to do? You know what I mean? I'm stuck. So, super unfortunate, man. You know, again, like, and something else I thought about with not only Rich Homie, but DMX. A lot of these other guys. Think about, like, our parents, right? Tina Turner passed, what, last year?
Yeah.
She did.
I know my girl was rolling.
Nah, my girl was rolling, but she ain't rolling like that.
Is you rolling?
Yeah. Yo, they got a mix. I can't see. You see CJ doing his little mixes with me. You got me rolling.
Is you rolling?
Rolling.
Is you rolling? Bitch, I might. Bitch, I might. You got to mix it. You got to mix that. Is you rolling?
Is you rolling?
Is you rolling
on the rim? Rolling on the rim. You got to get
rolling on the rim.
Did you ever see that clip? It's not funny, but it's funny. You see a clip of Tina singing. I forgot what song she was singing, but Ike was like, "I'll beat your ass." But he's singing.
I heard people talk about
he's
that.
He's like singing it in the background. Yo, Ike was
the
sick.
Thing is, to this day, I still think Ike is Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
I feel like that's
you
who
Ike.
Yeah, like, that's just who I think Ike is in general. So when I see pictures of the real Ike, I'm like, man, that ain't him.
I ain't gonna front. If you ask me anybody, the Temptations, in my mind, the Temptations were them, right? Like Leon, the singer Leon, to me was David Ruffin. I don't know him looking anything else other than that nigga. Right?
Agreed.
But where I was going with that was that I look at our parents now in their 50s and 60s. And they're losing legends, but their legends are 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some young. We lost Whitney Houston young. But a lot of times they're in their 70s, 80s. They're older, right? They're aging. They're legacy acts, right? Like, I just got my parents' concert tickets last year to go see Anita Baker, right?
Okay, mean ass.
Yeah. So, you know, was it Anita or Patty? One or two, I can't remember.
Oh, okay, if it was Patty, yeah. we going to fly away. We're going to do what we got to do.
Yeah, it was one time. I'm pretty sure I think it was Anita. I can't remember.
I think you said it was Anita.
But she came to Savannah. I think it was Anita. Because actually it was, because I wanted to go with my mom. My mom was like, that's one of my dad's favorite singers.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, cool. This is a birthday gift and your whatever it was gift. I have a blast. But anyway, the point being, it's like they get to see their legends age with them, right? And you get to go see, watch them, right?
Yeah.
And for generations, we still get to hear them live. We get to watch, you know, verses with who's Patty and who's Patty verses with?
Was it Gladys Knight?
I think Patty and Gladys. Yeah, Patty and Gladys, right? Had, you know what I mean? So, like, now we get to see that live and see them perform we've never seen before. All of our legends we're losing now, right? And not that Rich Homie is on the same wave as a Patty. you know what I mean, anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, we still get to, we still get to see, you know what I mean? We're losing legends.
We're losing them at the same time. So it's like, you better go to them damn concerts.
Rich Homie 34.
God.
It's 34. You know what I'm saying? So if that's the case, you know, it's just rough and it's hard. And I think about the lasting impact. I think about that with everything. I think about that with, hell, with fucking Ozempic. I think about it with everything. Like, what is this shit going to look like?
Yeah.
30 years from now, right? Like, what do, you know, it's kind of how people used to be with tattoos, right? Like, yeah. What is that tattoo going to look like in 30 years, right? Like, what does these breast implants look like when they first came with things? These BBLs now. Like, what's your BBL going to look like when you 50?
BBL,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, what you going
that's
with?
A lot to,
yeah, you know,
a lot
so,
taken.
Yeah, so same concept, man. And, you know, so super hard, man. Also, Fat Man Scoop was lost.
Bruh.
You got $100 bill, put your hands up. You got $100 bill.
Birdman Scoop, Crooked Clan. What was it? He was on Lose Control?
Yep.
Get your back off the wall. Get your back off the wall. Now get your back
off the wall. Get your back off the wall.
That man made Hoochie Mama music, all right? On, and I ain't mad at you.
Come on, man. A little birthday song.
Yeah.
What show is on the act?
Just hollering.
Yeah, he was the one that told niggas if you got.
And they said he died. He didn't die. They said he collapsed on stage.
Collapsed on stage.
Damn.
Collapsed on stage.
Damn.
So people saw him in his video. Obviously, which is unfortunate.
I don't be with all that stuff. And I feel the world so desensitized now because I saw a lot of people retweeting that Rich Homie's girlfriend. The audio of the 911 call was being released. Why?
Sick.
Every time I saw it on my timeline, like, why would I want to watch? Like, why would I want to listen to that?
Yeah, like, why do you want to hear that?
I need that much to talk about.
And what makes it crazy is people hear it, dissect it.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, I was listening. I don't understand.
But did you hear this in the background?
Yeah.
Because if it was this, how she knew? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and I'm judging everybody that was tweeting and talking about it because I'm just like, there's some things that should just be left private.
Yeah, I listened to Joe Budden podcast and they said this shit. They was like, I miss back when somebody died and you find out via obituary. Like, that's when you found out somebody died.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't.
That's what my mom do.
Like, people
she still check newspaper.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, people pass and the world knows before the family. Mm-hmm. Right? Kobe died and there's videos and pictures of Kobe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the site. Before Vanessa,
even knows,
right?
Like, because everybody just wants to break something, and we live in really weird times.
It's super weird.
Y'all are weird.
It's super weird, bro. Like we again, like I mean, I'm listening to Black Sam of Nipsey Hussle's brother
mm-hmm.
with Big Boy did an interview, and he talked about it, and he was saying how people were calling him, and these pictures and videos and all this shit was getting released. 15 minutes out, like he said he was in the hospital, like still waiting to hear what was up.
Yeah.
And there are videos and pictures all over the internet, right? Of Nipsey, either on the scene or, you know, on the way to the hospital. It's videos, people following the ambulance. Like it's just super weird, you know. Hell, what you talked about with you know, when you ran the 10K you just ran when the accident happened. And it happened because she's just watching y'all and not paying attention. Like, everybody wants to just see some shit, be a part of some shit. You know what I mean? Be the first to report some
first
shit,
to record,
some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, when people get killed or murdered or beat and it's all on camera, I'm like, none of y'all thought to help?
You know?
Everybody thought to put their phones out?
Exactly. It's disgusting, man. I hate it. Like, it
bothers disgusting.
Me. Like, it bothered me so bad.
Scum on the bottom of my shoe.
Right. You, dear darling, you make me sick.
You make me
You're
sick.
You're the scum beneath my toes. You know what I mean? So it's crazy, man. I absolutely hate it, man. Absolutely hate it.
Well,
so,
speaking of hating,
yeah,
people are loving or hating that they're hearing that Kendrick is going to be performing at Super Bowl.
You getting good at this. Good.
Hey, hey, you teaching me. Come on, you teaching me.
I'm
gonna be here. I'm gonna be here. Man, all right, I'm gonna earn my spot in the lab.
I was just about to say that.
I'm gonna earn my spot in the lab.
What the fuck I'm talking about?
Speaking of hate.
Speaking of hate.
But what are your thoughts on that? Because I can say, to me, it makes sense just because of the year Kendrick's had.
Mm-hmm.
But the Super Bowl is gonna be in New Orleans,
right?
They were not about to have a Cash Money Super Bowl. Y'all have to get that through y'all heads. They were not a whole Cash Money Super Bowl.
Why not?
I don't feel like Cash Money was, well, they weren't mainstream enough.
Well, not Cash Money, but I do sincerely feel like Lil Wayne not headlining a New Orleans Super Bowl was missing the boat.
Agreed.
And I will tell you the reason why I feel like that is because a few years ago we watched Dr. Dre headline the Inglewood Los Angeles Super Bowl. And that's why. It's not that. Because I know I saw people saying, like, man, they was in Atlanta and the game was Maroon 5. You know,
that is true.
And I was like, yeah.
And Travis Scott.
Right. I said, but understand, we're not speaking this out of thin air. We saw it because you did it with L.A.
Yeah.
So if L.A. gets their legend,
yeah,
New Orleans should get that.
And then, no, I think they said Rihanna had declined back then because somebody else declined because that was when the protest stuff was still going kind of crazy.
Probably.
Because they looked at Travis Scott sideways, he'd been doing the Super Bowl.
Probably. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing, right? And you know, if it's in Super Bowls in Houston, maybe you do Travis Scott or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But see, and the thing is, I understand.
You bit Lizzo.
Yeah. I don't see Lizzo nowhere. Y'all call me what y'all want, so I don't see the girl nowhere. But it's like, for me, I just feel like they missed the boat. It don't got to be a Cash Money
Super Bowl.
Maybe it'd be dope if Cash Money
comes out. If they had a segment.
Yeah, yeah. If Juvenile comes out and does high, something like that. Because what people don't understand is that at one point, people say they want to about Cash Money, but them niggas were the biggest artists.
Yeah.
Like, and people know how much
But it also was an argument, which I think that's what you're alluding to, because a lot of people from up north were saying that Cash Money was not as big as they were.
Yeah.
Because I think it was more of a southern thing.
And that's the misconception, because if you look at it, Juvenile outsold Jay-Z.
Damn.
Like Juvenile sold Jay-Z. And people who know that, and it's common now. It's not like a big secret. But Juvenile at that time was outselling Jay-Z. Jay-Z won because he was from New York.
Yeah.
He was the best out of New York at the time. And he maintained this level and this status and this aura about himself that led him to become the greatest. And skills there or whatever. But Juvenile as an artist outsold Jay-Z. You know what I mean? So at least in that era, obviously Jay-Z had longevity. So over time he outsold him. But if we go to that 5-year run where Juvenile and Jay-Z was still rocking, like when Jay-Z was making Big Pimpin' and Juvenile making High and Back That Ass Up, like Juvenile was the bigger artist. And that was a nationwide, worldwide type thing. So I do agree with that. And even then, I don't feel like there should be a Cash Money Super Bowl. Like, because again, like you said, they weren't mainstream enough for that. They weren't international artists. Cash Money can't do an international tour. Lil Wayne can. Because you had Dr. Dre, you had all these niggas headline this Los Angeles show. If you're going to bring out any rapper in New Orleans,
yeah,
it got to be him.
You have to.
It's no
choice. I agree to that.
It got to be him.
Yeah, I can agree to that.
And I really, honestly, I think that, and again, like, I think it's dope that they have Roc Nation and Jay-Z kind of being the ones who are kind of really picking the Super Bowl headliners.
Mm-hmm.
But I really would like to watch it become almost an ode to the city it's in, right?
Yeah.
So not only do we have Lil Wayne. I believe like Frank Ocean, I believe, is from New Orleans.
There we go. Okay.
So a Frank Ocean segmented too. Like, let's really
That's what I was about to say. Okay, let's dress it
roots.
Up.
Let's tap into the roots of this city itself, yeah, right? Let's bring out all these mega artists. You know, let's do that. Then when it comes to Atlanta,
let's do a bounce segment too, you think, huh?
Yeah, let's do all that. Seriously, let's do all that. Big freedom. Let's get it going. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, let's do all that shit. But
and you know.
You know all that shit, man. Get all that shit. But also, I do recognize that Kendrick's had a huge year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's been a lot of people talking about.
I would love to know that. I don't want a full Kendrick show.
I
want features.
And I was going to that.
I just don't want a full Kendrick show.
And people would think I'm saying it because people know I like Drake.
Yeah.
It's not the case. I listen to
Kendrick. But you're fair, though. Drake. You're always fair.
I listen to Kendrick and Drake. I don't see Kendrick. Not a Super Bowl
show. Yeah.
Now, I think Kendrick has enough songs to where he can go through a Super Bowl performance and people know his songs, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he's doing like Money Trees, those kind of records. Like, I think he has enough to get through a Super Bowl halftime show. He doesn't have what Usher has.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Usher is giving us 30 seconds of a song, and he's out here for 10 minutes giving us 30 seconds of each song, right? I don't think Kendrick has that. Now, I think he has 30 seconds of good music, but, I mean, just talking these big hits, I don't see that coming out of Kendrick. But, you know, and that's why for me, the Lil Wayne thing would have been dope because we know what Wayne's going to bring.
Yeah, man.
Like, Wayne has enough hits, features, friends to come out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, the Kendrick show, I put it this way, what Kendrick did in LA, what he did at Night, at Not Like Us shit, like, what he did in LA would not fly in New Orleans. Like, that's not going to be the same impact.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to be.
No. I don't want to say nobody really cares, but nobody, like, they care, but they don't care as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking Super Bowl. I'm just thinking more mainstream. Not even saying more mainstream, but just taking advantage of being in the, you know.
Yeah.
And just having a, like, because I'm a Kendrick fan, not a huge Kendrick fan. Shout out to my cousin Arshawn.
Right.
He's who's put me on Kendrick years ago, but. Yeah. It's the Super Bowl halftime. I'm trying to get jiggy with this shit.
The last Super Bowl.
What is he going to give us to get jiggy with? Other than a Not Like Us. I mean, he got some bangers, but.
Yeah, it's going to be Not Like Us. It's going to be.
What's it, Loyalty?
Damn.
Yeah. That's the one that said, well, both my grandmas did, and I ain't got nothing. That's my favorite line.
I think that's
a dark favorite line.
Oh, no. It's probably.
So basically, ain't nobody praying for me. I got the shit my dad.
And nobody praying for me. So it's gonna be those type records, you know. I'm interested to see who else they bring out, but yeah, I think it's just honestly a testament to his year.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, a lot of things.
Let him open the Olympics in 2020.
Right, but I think, you know, there's been a lot of people talking about how this is their. All of these things they're saying is now kind of proving Drake's point.
Yeah.
Of when he said that, like, he is the bigger artist, and he has his line in a recent song where he's talking about how you get lit off the nigga you dissing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You basically using me to come, you know what I mean? To come up. And now it's like, well, Kendrick's doing this, he's doing that. It's like, well, damn, Drake kind of was right. Which I don't think there was ever any doubt of Drake being the bigger artist. I don't think that was ever a doubt. You know, better artists, different, but bigger artists. Yeah,
he's most definitely bigger artist.
I mean, I think that with Drake and Kendrick, who's the bigger art or better is going to be on based off what you like. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm excited about it. You know, I posted on my story. You know what I mean? I said I would rather have had Lil Wayne than Kendrick.
Yeah.
But I am excited. I love seeing the culture thrive. I love seeing the culture put on
first. They could have had Chopper Style.
Yeah, they could have had Chopper Style. And who knows? And who knows? You know, Kendrick is musically inclined enough to start pulling folks from that.
And we're not going to discredit. We're not going to discredit Kendrick. We just have to wait and see.
We got to see what he got. I'll never forget Tip tweeted. She was like, because she hates Drake. She's not the biggest
fan.
Ever since he had that line about Meg, she wasn't a fan.
Yeah, you know, she's gonna ride for the talls. Yeah,
she gonna ride for the bigums. You know what I mean? She's gonna ride for
the talls.
For the big fines. She gonna ride for the big fines. And so she said, "What's a? I'm about to start listening to Kendrick. Where should, like, what's a good?"
I added my cousin, as I told you about, and I think he gave her some suggestions too.
Yeah, cause I told her after you get through that second album, just get you a pillow. It's over with. I told you it's over with. It's over, babe. Baby, get through that second album, and that is it. It's a snooze fest. Yeah. Hey, look, long as he don't come out there, that the Pimp a Butterfly shit, he good with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that shit. I'm sorry. I like Kendrick, but I don't hear nothing. I don't hear fucking Problems. I don't hear that.
There we go.
You know,
he has some bangers.
I'll put it this way. What I think for Kendrick, the smart thing for the halftime show to be, which will be absolutely, and I had said, I hate the word, but it would be diabolical. It would
be what?
Diabolical.
Ooh.
Big research. There you go.
Ooh. Give me some more flavor.
That's what that is. Yeah.
It's raunchy.
Nasty. But I think the best bet to get the most impact out of the Super Bowl show is when they talked about, Drake talked about that 20v1, so I'm talking about Future, Kendrick, Metro, Mustard, all these guys, Rick Ross, bring all them niggas out.
Yeah.
And make it a hate Drake fest. Seriously.
Might as well,
fuck it.
Have might as well, go ahead and close out the right way.
Now, you ain't got to do your diss records, mm-hmm. but, because even in his announcement, right, his Super Bowl announcement, he took a dig at Drake. You know, he said,
you hate that, man.
He did. He said it. So he literally said, "I hate you, nigga. Like, I hate the way you talk. I hate the way you dress." Like, he had a whole thing. But if you listen to his announcement, he actually says, "You only get one chance at a championship. Ain't no round two." Yeah. And Drake's been talking about, you know, essentially he's gearing up for the second round of the beef.
Yeah.
So him saying that was him taking a dig at, we're not, ain't no round two. You don't get one chance of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not engaging. Like, you can say what you want to say, I'm done with that now. You know what I'm saying? So Drake can put his own shit out. Like, he, the most recent song he put out, he's kind of, he don't get me in this beef. And as a nigga who loves rap, I compared this beef even back then to a Jay-Z and Nas, to Jay-Z and Nas beef.
Okay.
Jay-Z, in everybody's mind, lost that beef.
Yeah.
Right. Lost dropped Ether and they said it was done. Over it. He killed it, right? No matter how good Jay-Z's disses were.
Yeah.
Jay-Z dissed Nas for years after that beef. Jay-Z played a long game. I feel like Drake's taking Jay-Z's approach with the whole shit, and it's not a Drake and Kendrick beef cast. Yeah. But you know what Jay-Z started doing was little petty shit. Like every time Nas was dropping,
he would drop.
Jay-Z dropped on the same day. Like he did shit. I'm talking for a decade. If something Nas did anything, Drake did something, that's my kind of petty. I feel like that's the route Drake's going to take with this. Now, Super Bowl is tough, especially, and I saw somebody tweet this, and it was a very valid point. There was like, Drake has a song where he says that he's bigger than Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So for me, you to say you're bigger than Super Bowl, and I turn around, I'm
going to get Super Bowl.
It's very petty. I'm enjoying it. It's really petty.
You know, the thing about it is it's been Kendrick season, and I'm all for everybody when they have their winning season.
It's just time.
And, we will see. We will see, because Lord, it's been raining on Kendrick season all year. Outside of it being Kendrick season, when you wake up in the morning, it's not as hot.
Boy, God,
it's not as hot. I'm here to stay.
Hey, man.
I'm here to stay.
Hey, this boy here. Hey, boy, you potting, boy. Hey, boy, you potting. I see where you're going with this. God damn it, boy, you're potting.
Since we're on seasons, when you wake up in the morning a little bit, you rub your crusty ass feet together a little harder.
It's a wee bit nippy.
It's a wee bit nippy. You hold your blanket a little harder. If you like me, you've been struggling to go to the gym at 5 in the morning because your bed feels so good.
Hug you so well.
Your bed feels like it's rubbing your thigh just a little bit, saying don't leave. Mm. But how you feeling about the season change? It's the fall. We talked about this on a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
We are fall guys.
We are.
For all of the listeners.
Hoodie season.
That are listening, guys. We are hoodie season. Like I tell y'all, I love getting dressed like Princess Diana with my long sleeve and my shorts.
Yep.
The fall is here, but I feel like everybody's getting a little too excited because when it first happens, we get so excited. It's like the relief of, damn, we survived.
Yep.
But the heat's still here.
Yeah, it should come right back.
The heat's still here.
You put a hoodie on for 2 days. And then the next
unless
week
you're under 80. The age of 18.
Yeah.
Because they put on hoodies all day.
Year round.
Or Jamal. Because I told Jamal, he dresses for however the hell you feel like you want to dress. You don't dress for the season.
I always told Jamal he was a crackhead. So I've always known Jamal to be a crackhead. I'm not surprised at all. He was just too happy. Too happy. Too often. The first man said, why is this nigga always happy?
The boy has a good upbringing. Yeah. All right.
That's fun. When
he has a good upbringing.
When I first met Maul, and you got to think about when I first met Maul, the kind of nigga I was.
Yeah. You're like, what the fuck you smiling for?
What the fuck is wrong with this nigga? What the fuck he's so happy about? Who this nigga, who buddy is? Why the nigga always smiling? Huh? It was crack.
Turned out to be one of the good ones.
One of the better ones, actually. Absolutely. Yo, shoot Marley. I love Marley. I answer Marley's phone calls, man. Shout out to Marley. I fuck with my boy. You know, I don't text everybody back.
You don't.
I text Marley back.
You don't.
I text Marley back, man. Marley's my guy. I've watched Marley pull up on, let Marley pull up, watch fights with Marley. Marley's my guy. But no, back to the shit with the seasons, man. Yes, we are on the cusp of fall. We are in the back end of the summer. Will not say summer's completely over. I actually have a playlist called Summer's Over. I didn't drop intentionally because
there we go.
Playlist Poppy is back on deck. Vibes for the fall will be dropped very, very soon. But no, man, I feel great about it, man. I know we only got a few more weeks of this hot shit.
It was hot shit.
You know what?
It was so hot.
I moved up here at the end of May, beginning of June, and I said, what the fuck?
Like, it was hot.
Like, it was hot, hot.
We still blaming Glorilla.
Yeah. Because she's had to speak that shit into existence.
It's 7 p.m. Friday.
Because ever since she made that song, 95
degrees.
Every Friday at 7 p.m. it was 95 degrees.
It was so hot.
Yeah, little moose knuckle couldn't keep her mouth shut. Damn. Moose knuckle mommy couldn't be quiet. And now ever she done spoke it. People say words mean things. In words, they say spelling words.
Bruh,
speak it.
I kept stressing. I said, bruh, Glow should have said this. It's 7 p.m. Friday. It's 80 degrees. 78 degrees if you really want to be.
64 degrees. If you really turn me up.
So when thinking of fall, what are three things that you look forward to in the fall, or just three things that you would associate with fall? I would say, as a runner, this is the best weather to run in.
I can see that.
Like, I love running in the fall because it's not too hot. You know, it feels just right. Secondly, I think it's all of us, it's homecoming season.
For sure.
So homecoming season is a really good thing. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, I don't fucking know. But those are my three things. Having kids has allowed me to really appreciate Halloween.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was a Hallelujah Night kid, trunk or treat kid. Yep.
Spooky season's definitely.
Yeah, so wasn't really allowed to. So we used to do the whole family costume thing. Then we got lazy. Mm-hmm. Now we're just focusing on the kids. They were the Power Rangers last year. Shout out to Queen Stephanie. It's one of my coworkers. She put me on in Charlotte. So in NOTA, there's a whole, I forgot the exact street, but the entire neighborhood of NOTA does like Halloween, like the 10th power down there. So I went down, she was like, take your kids down there. I took them down there to NOTA. And it was at least between 300 to 400 people out there. And like the whole street, all of the houses go crazy with the decorations.
Wow.
I've never seen anything. You know how people invite you to stuff all the time. It's like, oh, this is a good time. Yeah. The kids will like it. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I go down there, park the car. One of the homies, Will, he said he was going to be down here with his kids. And I'm like, well, where's this street? I forgot the exact street. But when you get to it, it's literally the whole street. Then you can turn down on the other streets and like, the houses are going crazy with the decorations.
Spooky as hell.
But half of the houses also, they're giving out beer and wine to the parents. So they're like, hey, this is for the kids. This is for the kids. They got, these people legit have coolers outside with beers, seltzer. Some had small shot bottles, bottles of wine. Like, these for the parents.
That's tough.
I'm like,
I love Charlotte.
I'm like, you know what? This is different.
Yeah.
You know, because in Savannah, you know, you'll go to like the fancy neighborhoods because you know it's guaranteed candy.
Yeah.
But to go to a neighborhood where all of the houses are damn near decorated and all of those things, they're giving out free drinks and everything. Yeah, I'm most definitely down there again.
Yeah, nah, that's lit, man. I gotta definitely check
that
out.
Yeah, y'all gotta take Nubs.
Yeah, take Nubs.
Give my boy a little, give him a little Robin outfit, a little Batman outfit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do it. Yeah, we'll be Scooby and Shaggy.
There we go.
Scooby and Shaggy. A little black Scooby and Shaggy. My three things, man, I think about the fall, the holidays for sure. So obviously, like, you know, not only just, Halloween, enjoy Halloween, love spooky season, Thanksgiving's on the back end of it. So
can we go to Scarewinds?
Hell yeah, we go to Scarewinds.
Do you like roller coasters?
I don't, but I can. Okay. I can fuck with it. I
can have some little medium ones. Cause some of them, I'm a little too old to do the big, the crazy roller coasters that's like flipping you over three times. But the little medium ones,
yeah.
So we put scary ones on the agenda.
Yeah, yeah, scary ones for sure. We can fuck with that, man, for sure. We'll lock that in. We'll find us a good weekend to go. So holidays, obviously, the fairs. Love a good fair, man. Little funnel cakes, you know, fries, all that good shit, man. That's my bag, man. And then, honestly, you know, again, the hoodie season, man, not the hoodie
just being
season,
able to dress comfortably.
Being able to dress a certain way, put on a couple of layers, you know, really, you know, kind of sauce shit out, swag shit out. Like, we joke about being older and don't really get dressed as much as we used to.
Yeah.
But when niggas do, niggas still, you know, like to put some shit on real quick, you know, and enjoy themselves, man, and look good. Tech suits have taken over my closet. You know, that's definitely my bag when it gets cold. But you know,
how much do those run typically? I don't have I have a regular Nike jogging suit, but I said I want a tech suit.
A tech suit's gonna cost you at least $260 for both.
$260.
Yeah, your pants are gonna be about.
They come a little meat massager in there.
Mm-hmm. But now your pants gonna run you about $115. The actual jacket's gonna be about $150.
Okay.
Taxes going. Yeah. It's funny, man. P asked for one for Christmas last year, right?
Yeah.
And I said, all right, cool. But I intentionally left the tags on them.
Yeah.
So when she started, she's like, wait, how much these shits cost? I was like,
Me and Jamal, when he was in town last year for Christmas, we were going around town because he wanted another one.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know that expensive, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I normally split mine up. Like, I'll buy the jacket and put, like, the pants on Klarna or some shit. Like, you know, I don't got a heart to spend.
$260 for a jogging suit?
Yep.
Better come with a haircut.
Now, I will say that it's a very high-quality jogging suit. You're going to be warm. I done been out there I've been outside in a tech suit and it's been 40 degrees and I've been chilling.
Are you a North Face guy?
I do love North Face.
Okay. I think I want another North Face now because I've had mine for seven, eight years when I first moved here.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm moving to Charlotte. It's a little colder. Oh, this would be your first winter up here.
Yeah.
Last winter was weak. So it's probably going to be full. It didn't even snow last year. Because typically it snows like January, February.
And see, you telling me last winter is weak is going to be very discouraging because I was making my trips back and forth up here before I moved. And I said it's cold as fuck up here. So if last winter was weak.
No, last winter was really, it really wasn't that cold.
But you know, it's funny. I was working there talking about, they say, you think we're going to get snow before Thanksgiving this year? And the girl's like, well, it's only happened once, but maybe. I'm.
Yeah.
We got going to work?
Nah.
Okay.
When it snows, it shuts down. It hasn't really snowed since 2022.
I remember it snowed one time you moved up here because you posted. I said, look, a little snow.
Yeah, nah. I think the last time it really snowed up here has been like 2022. And when I say snow, that means like it sticked afterwards. So,
yeah.
But yeah, nah.
Yeah, now it'll be the skeet and snow.
That's it. Say it again.
Now it's skeet snow.
Skeet snow?
Yeah.
What's a skeet snow?
A little skeet snow don't stick. Just be a
little skeet. Nah, that's cool, but not That's just the cool thing about like seasons changing. I just always feel like, you know, it's either you hate it or you love it.
Yeah.
And it just allows you to, it's either you in your bag or you're not in your bag. You know, for some people, you know, summertime is, that's their season. They want to be out. They have all their skin out. You want to do everything. And I'm not knocking you for that. You know, some women, you know, they retired the maxi dresses and they picked up wrestling suits.
Yeah.
Works everybody. But yeah, what I really love about fall is just, hey, we get to get these fits off. It's not as hot out there.
Feel so outside at night. You know, you
just go have fun. Like just go to the park, do some fun shit.
Catch a good rooftop.
And it's a lot of festival. It's a lot of festivals in Charlotte too. Yeah, that come like to the parks and stuff. So you have a good time with that.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to catching me a nice little rooftop, man. Rooftop vibe. You know, when it's not too hot. You just kind of, you know what I'm saying.
Like I went to Nuvi. Don't get me the line. But I went to this rooftop Friday for one of my homies. Shout out to James. He just. Yeah. Launched his real estate brokerage firm here.
Okay.
He was a part of one that was in South Carolina, but he's running the Charlotte office. So it was a really dope rooftop spot. Mm. Real good drinks. And I'm like, you know what? We're getting older anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is what we on. Let's go do a nice dinner. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a rooftop. Let's enjoy ourselves and we can go from there.
Yeah, man. We going to homecoming?
I think so.
Yeah. Yo, so real
I was okay with just going to the tailgate, but I think because the black party, I mean,
back.
And you know the black party back. I gotta, I'm saying, going in the back of that closet.
What's it gonna do? It's time to stir.
It's time to go in that. Time to go in the back of that closet. Get you some new pieces.
One of my favorite things about Savannah State's homecoming is how I get accepted as an alumni.
It's the city's homecoming.
And I did not go to school there.
You was on campus enough.
Yeah, I was there. Everybody, but the funniest shit was I literally talked to someone about this shit too, and I was like, bro, like it's funny because people talk to me about it. And as always, nigga, you didn't go here? Mm-mm. But you are. Mm. But even when I graduated from Georgia Southern, people didn't even know. People from Savannah State thought I went to state.
Yeah.
But they didn't know I went to Southern until I posted pictures of me.
In your cap and gown.
In my cap and gown.
Graduated.
Nigga, you went to Georgia Southern?
Graduated.
Graduated. With a little picture of William.
Graduated.
You know what I mean? So, nah, that's dope. That's dope, man. So, wrapping up, you had a question, man, that on the list.
I thought it'd be cool, and I was gonna try to transition to a little earlier, but yeah, just what wrapping up is with reality TV.
Yeah,
if you were to be on so one thing I always and I will live by this. Yeah. Showrunners, show writers, Issa Rae, I guarantee you, our friend group and the shit that goes on cannot be made up.
Right,
the shit that goes on cannot be made up. If anybody is in the market to create a show, you know, around brotherhood, I think myself, Booby, Jordan, Broderick, Jamal, Anthony.
All right, that's what got Harper ass with on Best Man. Don't go too far.
If anybody wants a good sitcom or even reality TV show and you want to follow a group of guys, I guarantee you it would never ever be a slow moment or a dull moment.
If you need some ideas for one,
like just call
storylines, we got you.
Because the things that go on in our group chat thread, sometimes I just read the group chat and just put music on. I mean, this is better than cable. Nobody can make this up. But the question was that I had for Booby was, if you were on a reality TV show, how would you think you would be perceived?
Is it just
and when you say that, you're basing this off of, you know, your just your personality, your experiences, but also from what we know of reality TV and how everyone has to have a role. Like, I can start and say, I think I'm very entertaining.
Yeah,
I think I'll make it for good reality TV, but I know I would be the show villain to an extent because my humor can be dark, and I can be an asshole, and I feel like those edits would chop the fun, and they would show more of that, and I feel like I would be fun, but I feel like I would most definitely be a show villain on reality TV.
I think I'd be, and this is going to sound crazy when I think about. I think about reality TV. I think about me at work.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And I feel like as much as you want to be real, you're on TV. So it's going to be part of it that's not that, right?
Yeah.
That we're not going to be completely 100% who you are. I feel like I would be a very likable character in reality TV because I feel like I'd be an asshole. I'd be a funny asshole.
Yeah.
So like, yo, that nigga's a jerk, but that nigga hilarious. And I think that would be with edits, like you said, I think that's how I'd be perceived. I'd be very funny.
Yeah.
But I think people would enjoy me because my personality wouldn't yield me to go over the top of shit, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't be overly phony
or
overly nice to people. Like, I don't like people enough to be overly nice.
Yeah.
So
we know.
So people gonna like me, but it's gonna be like they as well, like, bro, don't talk to me, my nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm flat that shit today. Like, for real, go on that bullshit. Like, don't start that shit. You know, so that's a good question. I think people would enjoy me on reality TV. I think that the humor is going to show, the dark humor is going to be there. I'm kind of in the middle because I feel like there will be some villain in it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the villain will only come out if I'm crossed and I'm crossed early.
Yeah.
And now I'm out on some fuck all y'all. I think if that's not the case, I think I'd be like the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Where I'd be doing shit to fuck with people. But the audience will perceive it like, y'all should have been fucking with that. Like, bro, cool. I don't even know why they trying a nigga like that.
Exactly.
And I wish I could think of a character in reality TV that shaped out that way. But that's exactly what it would be.
And so if you can compare yourself to someone from reality TV, who would you use? For myself, I would, not all the way, because I don't be on fuck shit like this, but just the overall of his character. I feel like I would be like a Stevie J. Because CBJ is a fun character on reality TV, but he's also a villain on reality TV as well. But not hold all the bullshit, the baby mamas and all that stuff. But if
I don't think nobody hates Stevie.
Yeah, nobody hates Stevie, but they know,
like, hit this nigga with this bullshit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, here you go. But overall, I feel like he's a very well marketed, very likable character who is entertaining when it's all said and done.
Yeah, damn, that's a good question. That's a good question.
I think you would be closest to like a Ray J.
I could see that.
Because I think Ray J makes really good TV and he's very entertaining.
I think that's very, I think that's a good, and that's where I was at. I was like.
And if he's spazzing, Ray J just don't spazz like that.
He
like,
don't be wilding.
Like, he's not a character like that.
Yeah, and normally it's a good time. Like, I think about when he got into, well, I think it was Princess, when she was like throwing the drinks on a nigga and shit.
Yeah.
And he like pushed in the pool.
Yeah.
I said, I would do that. But I only did it because you kept fucking.
You kept pushing me,
like,
bro.
Why? Like, stop.
What's come on, man.
Like, can we not just talk? Like, that would be. Yeah, that would be me. So, no, that's very, very accurate. So, with that in mind, if you're looking for a reality TV show, you have Stevie J and Ray J. All right? Listen, to me, TV gold is what that is, right?
I would most definitely be TV gold.
Look, man, I already know.
I think our, and it's funny what we've began doing on our, rest in peace to my laptop. But what we started doing on our trips when we go out of town, I set up confessionals now.
Yeah.
So when we went to Arizona, we had a confessional. Everybody had to say something the first night.
Yeah.
If we were bored in the house, I'm like, hey, go hit the confessional. We have questions you could pull out of the, our little hat. A little cup that's next to it. And on the last day, we watched the videos from the confessional. And it was pure comedy, bro.
Man, listen,
it's pure comedy, so.
Like, the... For me... Wait. Okay. For me, it's just like, I feel like confessionals should be like a part of any event.
Yeah.
Any long event. Vacations. I like the wedding confessionals is coming, thing. Like, I want to see it because over a week, the emotions of being on a vacation with somebody, it will be so up and down. And even if somebody do shit, some shit you don't like and you still got to play cool because it ain't that big a deal. It's going to rub you the wrong way. You go in a confessional and be like, Merritt, look, this nigga got one more time, bro. I'm going to stab shot this nigga. Like, one more time, bro. Like, if this nigga does not wipe this fucking tub out after he washes little dirty ass.
Bro. You know, that most definitely happened to me on when we went to.
That was paddleball with y'all, right? Yeah, a little dirty tub. I remember that.
We needed a confessional for that trip.
I remember that story.
It was.
Yo, we needed a confessional for Miami spring break.
I'm surprised we didn't because we had so much footage.
We had a lot of footage.
We recorded so much shit.
Yeah, it was so much shit going on. Like the slapping fucking that whole shit. Yo, the booby. If you want to slap me, just slap me. Because I'm sick of this shit. Like, just that shit alone. Because I did want to slap you. I've been plotting on slapping you for weeks, I mean, for days. Man. For days. I didn't wait.
It was like the times like that. See, we got, matter of fact, Roger's birthday is next week. We got to set up a confessional.
That'd be dope.
Whenever we are linked there, we'll talk off camera.
Yeah.
For some stuff they're trying to do Saturday. I most definitely say set up a confessional.
Yeah. Got to.
And I could edit everything on CapCut, send it to niggas at the end of the weekend.
Yeah. And that got to stay locked in the vault.
Got to.
Yeah. But it'll be a good time. Looking forward to it. Yeah, man. Confessionals definitely got to be a thing, man, because, yeah.
I was trying to close out with a, you know, we were talking about everybody was so demure. Demure. Yeah. I was trying to find I was going to say, you know what? We should end the episode with a new word.
With a new.
Let me see if I can find one. That might just be the opening for the next episode.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's
30 English new words with new meanings. So, see, because I need to hit Google to pronounce it for me. So we're gonna start the next episode, new word.
Yeah, it's gonna be a word. Every episode we're gonna have a word of the episode.
There we go. Word of the episode.
And by the end of the episode, we have to use the word in a sentence.
Three times.
Three different sentences.
Follow Son Holy Ghost.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Come
there
on
we
now.
Go.
Come on now.
Come on, man.
Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Yeah, man. So that was episode 140 something. I had better.
Hey, episode something. Shout out to the lab.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the lab back in the building. Shout out to Ma being back on the pod, man.
We back.
Appreciate she was always coming, sliding through all this good shit. Nubs, I appreciate you for chilling.
No sleep.
Yeah, boy, but not that. Boy had a long week, man.
I ain't mad at you.
Your mama coming home. Don't worry about it. She deal with your little ass. Yeah, man. So with that being said, man, appreciate everybody fucking with us. First time, last time, other time is always love on this side. Again, you fuck with us. Fuck with us if you don't.
Yeah, boo. Talk your shit.
Don't you worry about it, bitch. I know somebody.
Hey, I don't really have a closing thing, but I'm gonna have one next
time. I was gonna say we gotta get you.
I'm gonna get a closing thing.
Yeah, we gotta get you.
So I'm gonna work on it.
Yeah, we gotta get you.
I'm gonna draft it up. I see y'all in a week or two.
Yeah, we gotta get you a drop. Yeah, for sure. I thought about that. We gotta get you a button. Same with Ian. Ian need one too. So, man, with that being said, peace, love, blessings, all that good shit. Till next time, you already know.
Hey.
Yes, sirski.